Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us from Washington is David May, research analyst at the Foundation for Defense for Democracies. David, a very, very good morning to you. It seems to be there's that old saying that things happen slowly and then very, very quickly. This is exactly what this seems to feel like, that the last few weeks have been very slow in terms of the Iranian situation, and then all of a sudden it escalates.
Good morning. That's exactly true. So there had been ceasefires, to some effect within Lebanon on the Lebanon border with Israel, and primarily with between Iran and Israel. But part of the agreement between Israel, the unwritten agreement between Israel and Hezbollah, was that Israel would not attack Hezbollah's centers in Beirut, and that Hezbollah would not be attacking Israeli territory. The fighting would remain within southern Lebanon, where Israel's trying to kick Hezbollah out of the southern part. And that had been holding up until Hezbollah launched rockets at Israel, and Israel then retaliated with strikes in Beirut. And then Iran had said that they would attack Israel in response, and they did. And now Israel responded to those, despite President Trump warning and trying to coerce Israel into not responding. But I personally think that had Israel not responded and just taken it on the chin, then that would only invite further attacks by Iran.
I was wondering about that, because there was almost the sense that I thought at one stage last evening, or it would have been your morning, that Iran needed to respond, did respond, only hit the north, nothing happened, and then life could have gone on as it was. Of course, the alternative is exactly what you said, that it wouldn't go on as it was. It would embolden Iran. What do we understand about the relationship between the United States and Israel? Clearly, President Trump and Netanyahu having a conversation last night. There doesn't seem to be a sense that they are on that there's a lot of conflict, but you have to imagine, or I have to imagine, that Trump is disappointed at how things are unraveling and would like to pull it back, even though he might understand that Israel can't. What do we glean from everything we know about these conversations?
So I would agree with everything that you just said. I would just, note that the nearly a dozen rockets, missiles that Iran launched at Israel, had any of them landed, they could have taken out an entire city block. So these aren't just, little bottle rockets that they're sending over. These are very dangerous weapons. And in terms of the tension in the U.S.-Israel relationship, I think it's being felt, especially just there's a sense of the war in Iran staying at this low simmer with the ceasefire, but no full resolution. And so the Trump administration is a little frustrated with the lack of result on that front. But I think we just need to note that President Trump, he's trying to calibrate the Iran-Israel conflict, but he's also trying to calibrate with the Gulf Arab states. They are very nervous because very often Iran attacks them. They're easier targets than Israel. They're closer, they're less well defended. And so when Iran tries to attack the Gulf Arab neighbors, that it causes issues for the entire global economy, especially when it comes to energy. And also it unravels a little bit the coalition that the United States has going against Iran. And so that's Iran's pressure tactic to attack the Gulf allies. And so President Trump is trying to assuage those concerns by not by preventing an escalation. And so I think he's speaking more to that than necessarily the Israeli front. But I do think it's a mistake to put the pressure on Israel when all that does is embolden Iran to not make any concessions at the negotiating table, which is Trump's primary concern.
The other aspect to this that Iran is using as a pretext is Hezbollah and Lebanon. Now, it's not exactly a secret that Iran is funding Hezbollah. Hezbollah is a proxy, or more than a proxy, it would seem. It would, I would imagine, almost a direct army. For Iran. Iran hasn't used Israel attacking Hezbollah until now as a pretext or as an excuse to either disengage from the process or to attack anybody. Why would it have done so now, do you think?
I mean, for the most part, the war had been limited to, attacks within Lebanon, but not on Beirut. And so this is a little bit of a difference. But again, this is something that was begun with the Hezbollah attack on Israel. I would note that just in terms of the threats emanating from Iran versus those emanating from Hezbollah, even though Iran is the bigger actor by far, Hezbollah is the much more proximate one. It's right on Israel's border. And so not only can they launch any variety of drones, mortars, or rockets on Israel, they also have the capability to launch a ground assault if the conditions are appropriate. And so even though Hezbollah is less dangerous on whole, they just have much more of an ability to attack, something that Iran can't really muster against Israel.
Mm. Does it possibly mean as well that Israel is doing significant damage to Hezbollah and Iran has to find a way to make that stop?
Yes. I mean, they definitely have been able to. And so just as I was noting that the pressure tactic that Iran is trying to implement against the Arab Gulf states. So Israel's pressure tactic is by forcing the Lebanese government to actually do its job and what it has agreed to, which is to evict Hezbollah from southern Iran. No military solution is going to fully disengage and kick Hezbollah out. It has to be a political process, and it has to be something done by the Lebanese themselves. And so when Israel is striking at Hezbollah targets in Beirut, one of the big things that that does is it puts pressure on the Lebanese government to finally realize how dangerous it is to have Hezbollah have a foreign proxy operating on its soil. And so that allows, that forces the Lebanese government to actually do its job, what it's committed to. And so that's what Israel's strategy has been.
Where does this go? Is there a way to pull it back at this point, or are we moving into a full-scale war again? And what does this mean for the United States? Because so far, we haven't seen the United States hitting back at Iran in support at this stage anyway.
We've seen this play out a few times, and so it will go with some tit-for-tat attacks, and then finally there will be some type of ceasefire that prevails, and the question is who gets the last shot in and who seems to come out on top. But just in terms of prolonging the ceasefire, not actually ending the conflict, I think Iran is benefiting very handsomely from the fact that it's holding the international economy hostage, especially within the Strait of Hormuz. Iran is used to being an economy under siege, and so that's nothing new to them. But for the global economy to be taking these hits without any conclusion, without any light at the end of the tunnel, I think that's going to be very difficult and problematic. And so long as President Trump puts the brakes on and hopes for an agreement without actually putting the pressure on Iran, I don't think we're actually going to see any meaningful end to the conflict.
Final question. What do we know about Iran's leadership and capability with regard to making decisions and actually negotiating?
That's a good question. I mean, theoretically, the leader in charge is Ayatollah Khamenei's son, Mojtaba, and he was very severely injured, and it's a question as to how much in control he is versus military leadership within the IRGC, their extremist military. So that's a good question, but I think what we've seen is that they have had those redundancies and that ability to operate under pressure. And even though Israel took out much of its senior leadership, it has still been able to fight and not capitulate. So I don't think we should underestimate the Iranian leadership structure. But I guess we'll see what can be done and who can be negotiated with to actually end the conflict.
David May, thank you as always. Now we're going to let you go to sleep if that's possible, given the fact that things are just heating up. David May is a research analyst at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies.